shows 100% chance of rain. And we are richly blessed to have this good measure of rain come our way. I realize it makes travel a little more crazy. People slow down. It's harder to see, but you're here tonight, and that means a lot to me. And I hope and pray that as we go through this study, you have something you can take home with you. I really do. I hope that there's something said tonight, something we read tonight in God's Word that will make an impact on your heart, and you can move forward from this place and maybe commit or recommit yourself to the good work that God has called us to do. And in saying that, the good works that God has called us to do, the title of tonight's sermon is Let Us Not Grow Weary. As Corey read for us, let us not grow weary while doing good. He read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, but that statement is made again in Galatians chapter 6, and we can read it in verse 9 if you'll turn there with me. You should have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 6. You could be powering up your tablet or smartphone, but either way, let's be flipping to these verses together. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 9 simply reads, And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So there's this Bible principle of sowing and reaping. That really, in nature, shows that to us as well. This idea of sowing and reaping. We understand that we will reap that which we have sown. And so there's a principle there that's laid out for us. And Paul says, after saying these things, he says, Now don't grow weary while doing these good things, the things which I've commanded you and called you to do by the Word of God. And I want to share something with you as we start this evening that I've realized that when it's all up to me and I'm going to do good, and believe me, I've tried this many times in my life where I get revved up about doing something good. And like I said tonight, I hope that you take something with you this evening. And you say, I'm going to do the things that are good, things that are approved by God. But one mistake we could make, and this is something I want to visit a little bit this evening, is for an individual to say to themselves, I am going to do good. And you start saying, and I'm going to, and I, and before you know it, you got way too much vitamin I in your plan. There's too much of you and not enough of the Lord. Because I have found in my own life that when I say to myself, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to do good until I pass out, you know what happens? I pass out. I don't consistently stay on the path of this doing good. We're called by God to look for good works, be zealous for good works, to walk in these good works. And then Paul says, and remember, brethren, do not grow weary while doing good. And so I want to share something with all of you that I have found in my own personal study. I want to share some verses that have spoken to me time and time again, because there can be, for those of us who try to do good, and we're trying to stay focused on what is right, there can be the realization that we're getting worn out, and there's not the evidence that we thought we would see in our doing good. Maybe there's something tied to it that is frustrating us, and we do become weary while doing good. And so I just want to look at a few verses with you this evening as the Lord gives us time and electricity to look at these verses. And let's just think about this idea of doing good. The first thing I want to say to you, and I believe this with all my heart, it is all but guaranteed that we will become weary, and we were told not to, but it's all but guaranteed we will become weary if we are not focused on the Lord and our love for Him. This idea of doing good and not growing weary while doing good must be deeply interwoven with our love, our appreciation, and our understanding of who God is and what He's done for us and the example that He's given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's crucial. It is crucial for us. If we are going to get on this path of good works and doing that which is approved by God and not being worn out, if the Lord, your love and your dedication to God is not where it should be, you will fade out. You will not be able to stay on this path. I've realized this in my own life. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I realize sometimes in our Bible lessons and the sermons that I teach, we do finger exercises and flip all over the place. But I'm going to try tonight to stay in just a couple of books, if, again, the Lord gives us time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, watch very closely with me what is said by the Apostle Paul. I think before we read it, it's also important to know that when you read 2 Timothy, this is one of the most emotional epistles that the Apostle will write. Paul's life is passing. He will say, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, And so he knows that he's being poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. He is at the end of all of his work. Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul? Remember all the churches that he began, the traveling that he did, all the trouble he got into, all the imprisonment that he faced? And this man would be the one to say to us, do not grow weary while doing good. Now we know that he's called Timothy his son in the faith. He loves Timothy passionately. He wants Timothy to succeed and to hold fast to the truth and to do well as he serves God. And yet Paul is passing from the scene. He's going to pass away soon. What does an apostle of Jesus Christ say to this young man? What does he need to hear? What does he need to know so that he will carry the torch? It seems to me one of the greatest concerns Paul would have is that Timothy seems to be an emotional young man. We read about in 2 Timothy that when they last saw each other, they departed in tears. And Timothy seems to have a timid nature to himself. And maybe Paul's worried that when he goes and passes from the scene that Timothy won't hold on and he won't stand fast. Well, how do you do that? How do you convince this young man to stay focused on the truth? To let no one despise your youth. You hold fast to what is right. Remember what I taught you. Remember the exhortations that I gave you. Well, let's read it together. What does Paul say to Timothy? He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And to me, this is going to be the heart of it. This is our study. What does he say? You be strong because you're young. You be strong because you got a great personality. You be strong because your grandparents were strong, and I know you can be too. None of that's there. Where will Timothy find his strength to do that which is good and to not grow weary in that effort? To not be torn down by those who would despise him for his youth? The answer is in the grace of God, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul's laying out for Timothy this plan of knowing the truth and then sharing it with others who would understand it, who would take hold of it themselves, and then they would be able to teach others as well. And so you say, boy, that's a pretty simple plan. Is that going to work? Well, you're here. You're here tonight. It is working. It does work. You take this truth that's been taught to you and you share it with men who will also grab hold of that faith and teach others also. It goes from generation to generation. But you must be strong in the grace. He goes on in verse 3 to say, you therefore must endure. That's a very, very difficult word for us to consider. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And so Paul's message to young Timothy here is to be strong in the grace of the Lord and to remember that he serves Jesus Christ. He is to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We see that in verse 3. And then he uses this military idea to say once you're enlisted, once you're called into service, you cannot successfully do this if you're all tangled up in the matters of the world. And boy, for us today, and I guess a human being any day in all of human history needs to be on guard about this. Because boy, we can get tangled up with the issues and the concerns of our daily lives. We have things that need to be done. We have things that need attention. We have things that we've been asked to do. Those things are important. But you're enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You cannot become so entangled with these earthly, temporal things that you are failing in your service. This idea of doing good works for the Lord, that first and foremost, we would trust in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The strength, the power, the ability to do what is right comes from the grace. And that is a key word in our study tonight, the grace of Jesus Christ. Now remember, Paul told Timothy that he's going to have to endure hardship. Now watch what he tells him in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 7. He says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Imagine Timothy loving Paul just as Paul loved Timothy, reading this. You know, I think about Timothy. Man, if this letter was written to me, I would have this in my coat pocket close to my heart. And I would pull it out every time there was some downtime and read verse 7 over and over and over again. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. This is Paul's hope for Timothy, that he would first trust in the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and that God would grant him the understanding by the will of the Lord according to what Paul had taught him. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. What a great gift that is. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Remember he told Timothy to endure? Verse 10 says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is enduring these hardships and these difficult times, and why does he say? He knows he's a servant of Jesus Christ. He knows that he must endure hardships. He's already done that in his life. But why is he doing it now? What's his purpose? What's his reason? For the sake of the elect. The sake of the elect. That's the saints. Those are the believers. Those who hold fast to the Word of God. That he endures these difficulties and these hardships for the sake of the elect. And I want to commend every person who's here tonight. Yeah, I mentioned as we started that the weather's not ideal to be on the road. And some of our tires need to be changed. And so you're slipping around a little more than usual. You may have gotten into some danger coming here or maybe going home. You knew that and you came. And to me, that is a great blessing as a gospel preacher. It's great to be encouraged by each one of you that you've decided to be here, that you do love the Lord, and that you know the brethren are gathered together. Paul says that he endures hardships, things far more difficult than what we're talking about, for the sake of the elect. Now remember, when you come to services, you come to a Sunday evening worship, you come to Wednesday night Bible class and the study that we have together, it is not because I stood up here and insisted that you show up. You know what's going to happen if you come here because I insist that you come here? You're going to get worn out. You're going to get tired of pleasing old Danny Simmons. That is a guarantee. But if you move and if you're motivated for the sake of the elect, don't you see where that places your heart and your intentions? We have groups that have been put together now that the elders have seen fit to have us be put into groups that we might come together, spend time together, get to know each other a little better, find out how we can be helpful to each other. A lot of great things can and are already happening in these groups. Do you take part in that? Do you go to these things for the sake of the elect? Do you understand how this just continues to unravel for us as we think about the things that we do, the things that we don't do? If I know the saints are gathered somewhere and I'm able to get there and I choose not to be there, is that for the sake of the elect? Would I say to myself, you know, it'd be better if I just wasn't there? I've heard the singing's better every time I don't show up. I don't know anyone who reasons that way. We move and we're motivated because we understand the grace of God first and foremost. We gain our strength from the grace of God that's been shown to us through Jesus Christ. But we're also moved and motivated for the sake of the elect. Do you believe that the people who are gathered in this room are going to heaven? It's a yes or no question. You either do or you don't. Are these people that are gathered here tonight trying to get to heaven? Are they here to hear a portion? Are they here so that they can hear a portion of God's word and make application in their life to participate in the worship service with other members? If they are dedicated to that purpose, then they are the elect of God. Their call and their election is sure. They are gathered together. Jesus Christ says, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there with them also." Jesus Christ is with us tonight. I want to commend you. I'm not getting after you for being here. I want to commend you for your efforts to say, we are going to services. And you have children who go, why? How come? Why do we have to go all this time? Why do we do this so much? For the sake of the elect. We're zealous for good works in Christ Jesus, and we're strengthened by the grace of God that's been demonstrated to us. That is just one example. It's an example that I thought of how we can work and do good things for the sake of the elect. But boy, isn't it a good one? I hope you agree with me because you're here. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you muster up that strength in the grace that Jesus Christ has demonstrated and shown us and given to us freely. Let's look at Titus. I told you we wouldn't turn very far. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. We're going to look at grace a little more. Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." There's that idea again at the end of verse 14 that this special people who Christ has redeemed and freed us from the lawless deeds that we used to participate in, that we are to be zealous for good works. But did you see in the beginning what grace does for Christians, those who are called by the grace of God? Grace, the grace of God, teaches us that we should deny ungodliness. It sends us somewhere, doesn't it? Grace to me is something I am still learning about. I used to know the Bible class answer when someone says, "What is grace?" I know what grace is. It's unmerited favor. That's right. Good job. Unmerited favor. Well, what does that mean? Timothy was told to be strong in that grace. Be strong in unmerited favor. What? How? What? How do I do that? Grace has spoken to me on many different levels in many different ways as I've tried to understand all that that means. Grace will very plainly say to you, as it's teaching you, no, you're not worthy. And yes, you stumbled, but get up. Get back to work. Because grace has been extended to you. Unmerited favor, that which you did not deserve, God has graciously handed to you, and you graciously accepted that gift, didn't you? So grace is the greatest disciplinary idea I have ever seen in Scripture. Grace says, yeah, it seemed like it was a mistake that God called you, but you were called, so get to work. Yeah, most people agree that you shouldn't have been called, but get up and get to work. Your estimation of yourself is right. You've fallen down way too many times. Get up. Get to work. You've been called to something that God has placed you into and He wants you to be a part of. Give it your all. Understand what grace means. I guarantee that as the word grace grows in your life and in your understanding, that you'll have nothing left to do but get to the work, because the grace has already been extended to us. Again, it just seems to be a concept and an idea that as I read about it in Scripture, this grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us. The grace of God is showing us something. It's explaining something to us that we did not deserve, the greatest gift man could ever know, and yet it was handed to you freely. And it doesn't stop there. It's a motivator. It sends us somewhere. It tells us something. It tells us that we should deny all ungodliness. Why? Because the grace of God has been shown to me. It's been revealed to all mankind. And it's a motivator for me. And he finishes by saying that these saints, these people, should be zealous for good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Let's read through it quickly. Paul says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And so there's this idea that, yeah, you weren't worthy. You did not deserve this. This is who you were. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, the grace of God appeared to all men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." These things that you teach and encourage and affirm to the brethren, he says, say them constantly. Which tells me, as a gospel preacher, I haven't said it enough. Say it constantly. Let the elect know about this great gift. Salvation's been granted to all men. Those who would receive it, those who would take it, those who would answer the gospel call, they know. They understand. And now, when you gain strength in the grace of God, I want us to see that. I really do think Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, just think about all the concerns he would have for that young man as he's leaving this life, knowing that Timothy had so much work to do. You think about a grandfather speaking to his grandson who may just be old enough to start retaining some information. What do you say to your grandson? What do you say to a grandchild when you know you're leaving this earth? What do you say to your son when you're going to leave the earth? That one final statement: be strong, be courageous, know God's will and do it. I want to see you in heaven. I'm going there because God has promised it to me. Don't lose heart. How do you say that in one sentence? I think Paul did it to Timothy. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything flows from there. It really, truly does. And there's not this idea of I'm going to huff and puff. All that's gone. I don't need to huff and puff and blow the house down. I need to trust in the strength that's provided to me by God Himself. He would say to Paul at one point, "My grace is sufficient for thee." While he was battling his own thorn in the flesh. And so we must take hold of the grace of God. The phrase we started with, the scripture we started with, says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Let's look at Galatians 6 one more time. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll back up where the principle of sowing and reaping is given to us. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, and this is our exhortation for the night, as we've talked about the grace of God, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, the household of faith, the members of the local church that gather together here. Do good to all, but especially. Especially to those who are the household of faith. And I thank you for your presence, your song to the Lord tonight, your joining together in prayer to our God and to our Heavenly Father. We've done this together in a concerted effort to serve our God. Do good, especially to the household of faith. And I want you to be thinking too about these groups that we're doing. I really want to challenge you in that. The household of faith. We've been separated into smaller groups. We're going to get together. We're going to talk. We're going to visit. We're going to learn something about somebody we didn't know. You're going to learn maybe a new way to reach out and to help somebody that you should be loving abundantly. Do all that you can to be at these special events that we have put together so that we might be able to live in these verses and be further dedicated to what God's called us to do. It's a great thing. Let me give you one more verse in Romans chapter 2. This will be our final verse for the evening. And I want to use it to conclude the thoughts that we've gone through tonight, but also to offer the invitation. The Bible tells us very plainly that our God is long-suffering, that He's provided opportunity for those who have not yet obeyed the gospel. There's an opportunity for you to do that right now. There's actually always an opportunity for you to do that. But this is a special time that I would invite you to come forward and to obey the gospel. Because Paul would say in verse 4, "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" In verse 6, Paul will say that God Himself will render to each one according to his deeds. Remember the good works that we've been called to do as we serve God in the grace of Jesus Christ? The Lord is going to render to each one according to his deeds. Verse 7 says He will give eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. There's that same idea. He's going to give eternal life to those who by patient continuance, Doesn't that sound like, let's not grow weary while doing good? Patient continuance, enduring to the end. He's going to give those who do this glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. God has told us very clearly that there will be two groups of people in the judgment day. He will separate them because He knows the difference. We have a calling on our life, brothers and sisters. Tonight, my intention was to share with you what I've learned about grace, what it means to me, and how it really truly is the driving force in my life. But also that I do truly love each and every soul who's here tonight. And your effort, your love for the Lord, your dedication to do what is good. And to just commend you in that, but also say, don't get worn out. Don't get worn out. Keep trucking along. Trust in the grace that God has given to us. Do that which is good, and don't grow weary, because we will reap if we don't lose heart. Again, if there's anyone in our number tonight who needs to obey the gospel, there's a time now for you to come forward and do just that as together we stand and sing.